614, highs of 89 today. I guess a chance for showers because it rained yesterday. Who knows? Maybe it'll rain today. Then a 50% chance for showers tomorrow. Then it cools off a little bit for the weekend. Highs only in the low to mid 80s and nothing but sunshine on Saturday and Sunday. So we'll look forward to that. Hopefully the humidity will be down as well. Jesse Holcomb joins us now, professor of journalism and communication at Calvin University, a former associate director of research at the Pew Research Center, to talk about President Trump and his dust up with Jimmy Kimmel and his threat Thursday to revoke broadcasting licenses from networks with late night hosts who make jokes or comments at his expense. How you doing, Professor?
Doing well. Good morning to you.
The first thing I thought of when I heard this was President Trump should thank the good Lord that Johnny Carson isn't still on the air.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, but, you know, there's nothing that our president seems to relish more than a little bit of an argument or dust up with the media. This is, you talk to anyone who knows him or has followed him through all of his years in politics and business in New York. This is something that sort of cuts to the core of Donald Trump's character. He's been doing this kind of thing for decades, since he was a business mogul in New York, arguing with the New York tabloids, at the same time trying to curry favor desperately with them.
Somebody texted in about, you know, talking about Trump again, Trump derangement syndrome, blah, 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 blah. But the truth of the matter is President Trump wants us to talk about him. He says these things. Sometimes I think, I don't know if he's serious. I don't know if he's floating a trial balloon. I don't know if it's an iron fist in a velvet glove, or he's just saying stuff to be controversial so people talk about him and he dominates the news cycle. Thoughts?
Thoughts? Well, this is one, you know, I usually have a lot to say, Tommy, but I'm gonna plead the fifth in trying to discern the inscrutable mind of President Trump. What motivates him? Why does he do what he does when it comes to his sort of constant scuffle with the news media? I can't necessarily say. I just know that he's got a long history of doing this. It really ramped up during the 2016 election with the famous enemies of the people line. What I will say is that it does have real world consequences. What we see in public opinion research over the last 8 years or 9 years that Trump has been in national presidential politics is that our polarization has increased in terms of our attitudes about the news media. General antipathy and hostility toward the mainstream media from conservatives and Republicans, while Democrats have generally tended to stay on the side of institutional news media. But we've seen increased threats against the media, and there are real-world consequences. What we see with lawsuits and the impact on public media, there are policy and economic implications for some of these whims and impulses that Trump projects.
So when he talks about revoking broadcasting licenses from networks, that drives me crazy because networks aren't licensed. Individual stations are, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. But, you know, he will sort of say something off the cuff, and the may have a sort of a loose relationship with the facts.
But the other thing is that he's taking the businessman's approach to this and not the dictator's approach, if you will. And what I'm saying by that, what I mean by that is he's not having anybody arrested or hauled before a firing squad. What he's doing is threatening them either in court or the finances in terms of mergers or acquisitions or denying this or delaying that. That's where he's hitting them, right?
That's right. So for folks who are claiming that Trump is going straight to the extreme end of the fascist or dictator playbook, I don't necessarily think that the facts bear that out. You could arguably place Trump a little bit more in the sort of Viktor Orban camp. But what we've seen here is actions that amount to pressure, to threats, to innuendo, certainly in the case of the Jimmy Kimmel incident. I, at least in my view, I don't think you can necessarily argue that Brendan Carr, the FCC chairman, was the one who, you know, there's no smoking gun there. He wasn't the one who canceled Jimmy Kimmel. That was Disney and ABC. But they were bowing to pressure.
In what way, Professor, pressure of what variety?
Well, from not just one, but multiple fronts. So you had comments made by Brendan Carr surrounding the monologue that got all this attention from Jimmy Kimmel. But you also had some of these station groups, Sinclair and Nexstar, that really pushed back and protested, said they weren't going to carry Kimmel's program after the quote-unquote offensive things that he had said. You also had a public pushback, too. You know, the nation is sort of a tinderbox right now when it comes to political rhetoric, where you've got folks sort of more on the left who are very upset that Kimmel's show got iced for a while. Folks on the right who can't stand Kimmel for what he said. And at the end of the day, we've got a market-driven media system, and executives are going to be interested in the bottom line. And when they've got station networks that don't want to carry their show and they've got, you know, audience protesting, you know, that can be powerful, even as in innuendo from the executive branch also isn't nothing.
Somebody texted in and said, you're wrong. To his credit, Johnny Carson was apolitical on the air, was adamant about that, keeping true to the principle. No one knew Carson's political beliefs just as he had intended. Leno was similar in behavior. The only thing I said was Johnny Carson would have skewered Trump just as he skewered Nixon and Ford and Reagan and Clinton and all of them. He was equal in the fact that he skewered people. I guess in that sense, you didn't know what his political beliefs were. But he did give the presidents a hard time, whoever it was that was in office. And I don't know how President Trump would have responded to that, is the only point I was making. 6:21 more. When we come back, we'll talk about the public's reaction to what public opinion is on Trump's attacks on the media. When we come back right now, time for traffic, WWL. 6:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jesse Holcomb, professor of journalism and communications at Calvin University, also a former associate director of research at the Pew Research Center. Professor, to me, it seems like, okay, let every network, every station do what they want. Put whatever programming on that you want, and let's compete in the free market and see who watches it and see who doesn't. I understand Fox has some show on with somebody that does a comedy show at night. I don't know who's winning in the ratings or who's not, or how you even determine ratings anymore with the cable and streaming and so forth. What does public opinion say about Trump and the media, or the media and Trump?
Well, like I was saying earlier, Tommy, Trump's entry into national politics had an impact, arguably, on how the American public view the news media. So we know that we're something of a polarized nation, with Republicans and conservatives on one end clustering around public opinion about certain set of issues and attitudes, and liberal Democrats on the other hand. This is also true of our news media. So what we've seen over the last 10 years is Republicans and conservatives really clustering in terms of the way they follow news and their attitudes about the news around Fox. Fox is their channel, whereas, you know, what we see is most Republicans saying that they enjoy and trust Fox News as their main source, but Democrats still following the major networks, the national cable networks, CNN, NBC, ABC, and CBS, and that has really solidified New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and so forth. Part of this has to do with the way that these national media outlets have positioned themselves in the Trump years. Many of them, you know, if you go from the New York Times to CNN and so on, have had an adversarial relationship with the president. They have used their platform and their reporting to call out actions and behaviors that perhaps they see as a threat to American democracy. And this, as you can imagine, has further turned off conservative audiences. Trump himself has called out these outlets for this kind of reporting and this kind of news agenda. Trump is a newsmaker. He's done a lot of things to sort of disrupt arguably the political culture that America had been used to for many years. This has activated journalists in the national media who see his actions and his statements as a disruption of the norms. It makes it newsworthy in their view. And so then even in some cases to report certain actions, behaviors, policies, and rhetoric is to introduce a perception that these news media are hostile to Trump.
Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time and your insights. Jesse Holcomb, Professor of Journalism and Communications at Calvin University, also a former Associate Director of Research at the Pew Research Center. For me, coming in at the tail end of Carson growing up, I thought late night was supposed to be skits and interviews with celebrities and who's got a movie coming out, and then you clown around with this one and get that one to play this and the other thing, not a political diatribe, but I guess it's gone into that. What do I know? I go to bed at 8 o'clock because I get up at 3:30. We'll take a break and back talk to Jeff Palermo about LSU right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan.